Thank you. after that one, I feel like I should say, howdy, y'all. Good evening and welcome to this Christmas Eve service. My name is Steve Price, and I'm delighted to welcome you tonight. If it is your first time with us here at Trinity, we especially want to welcome you as our guest and tell you how glad we are that you chose to come here to be a part of this tonight. It's going to be a great service. You've already heard some great music from our Sunlight Youth Choir and band. We really appreciate their leadership in this service. And throughout the next hour or so, you'll have an opportunity to sing some Christmas carols, to hear some more great music, to receive a message of hope and encouragement, and then to be a part of offering hope and encouragement to some kids in our community through our special offering tonight. You'll hear more about that a little bit later in the service. If you want to get a sneak preview now, just inside your bulletin on the inside left panel, there's information about that offering for tonight. It's going to really be a cool thing to impact some kids here in Alachua County. So we're glad you're here. We're looking forward to worship tonight. And we also want to invite you back after the beginning of the year for a message series that's going to start just after the new year. Wanted you to have just a sneak preview of that as well. And so I'm going to invite you to turn your attention to the screen for just a couple of minutes and catch a little glimpse into what's coming up.
So Aaron and I met at work, and the first few times that we interacted together did not go well at all.
But later, our workplace had put together a team to cycle for charity, and we were on the team together. And 75 miles a day, 2 days in a row, and we got stuck together, just the two of us.
We did, because the rest of the team failed to show up that morning. It was just Aaron and I, and you told me stories about your days with the marina.
So we got to know each other better.
We did, and that went well.
And I asked her out on our first date.
And I said yes.
And we went to Campeche Bay.
I had fish tacos.
I had a chimichanga.
And that was awesome. I took a friend out for her birthday, and I played Mama Hen.
And I was called by a friend and forced to come out, but it turned out to be a fortuitous journey.
While we were out, he bumped into my friend, and he was saying happy birthday and celebrate and all this, and I walked over because I wanted to play police and make sure that he was a good guy, and he actually turned out to be okay.
Goodish.
Goodish.
And we talked for the rest of the evening.
Well, I was a medical student there, no, an intern, a medical intern, and she was a third-year nursing student in the same medical school and nursing school in the Philippines, in Manila. And there was a convocation one afternoon sponsored by the nursing class, and she was singing. And I, with three of my best friends, were looking down where she was singing. And I told my friends, "That's my wife," and they all laughed. Said, "You didn't even know her." I said, "Well, I promise you, she'll be my wife."
Steve and I were college sweethearts and started dating our junior year in college, but it got very serious very quickly. So when he came down to visit me here in Gainesville that Christmas, I was sure that I was going to call it off. But as soon as I saw him, I realized I could live without.
Thank goodness for that. And now 30 years later, our story continues to unfold. You know, every marriage has a story, and we are so excited about the upcoming message series here at Trinity beginning January 8th. We'd love for you to come and join us as we share some of the things that we've learned along the way about what makes for healthy relationships.
So whether you're married or in a relationship or not, we think there'll be something for you. So we invite you to come and bring a friend.
So we hope you'll come back after the beginning of the year and be with us for that new series. As Catherine said at the end, regardless of whether you are married or not, I guarantee you there will be some takeaways from this series that will help you in relationships that you have with others. So I look forward to seeing you then. Tomorrow, just so you know, we will have one worship service on Christmas Day here at Trinity. It'll be at 10 a.m., family-friendly environment. Kids can come in PJs. We'll do a blessing of the toys as a part of the service. We'll sing a lot of Christmas carols. It'll be a great morning. Look forward to that time in the morning. But right now, we are going to spend this next hour, celebrating the good news that comes our way on this night, that God chose to show up in the form of a child and live among us so that we might be able to see Him in the flesh come to earth. So thanks for being here. I'm going to invite you to take a moment now and stand and greet one another. Say Merry Christmas to somebody near you as we get started worshiping.
Merry Christmas! Let us worship God together with our opening hymn tonight, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Join me in this. Christ is born. Give Him glory. Jesus has come down from heaven. Receive Him. Jesus is now on earth. Shout for joy. Let us dance with delight in the Lord, and let our hearts be filled with rejoicing. May the light of Christ shine in our lives and through us out into the world. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Please pray with me. O wondrous God of the stars, we come tonight with breathless wonder to see the babe who will change our hearts and lives. You have touched the earth this night with your relentless grace and unconditional love. Touch us this magical night. Touch our hearts and minds and souls. May we never tire of this story, and may we never take it for granted. Amen. I invite you to please be seated. And children, if you would please make your way up here for the children's moment and sit on the stage as we sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. Welcome. It is nice to see you all tonight. I think I saw some of you earlier tonight at one of the services, and now you're back again, so it's really great to see you. So glad that you're here with us for our Christmas Eve worship and that you came up to be a part of this time. Question for you, how many of you have a nightlight that you use either in your room or maybe in the hallway? Yes, several of you do, right? They're helpful, aren't they? Why do you like to have a nightlight in your room or near your room? Because you don't like the dark. I so agree with that. Yes, and the nightlight really helps, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing that, I mean, even a room like this, if we turned all the lights out and it was completely dark in here, if you just lit one candle or had a small flashlight, you would have enough light to be able to find your way, wouldn't you? Right? Isn't that cool? So tonight, we get to celebrate this story that God chooses to show up in the world in the form of a human being just like you and I. And what that story reminds us of is that even when the world feels dark and scary, when it feels lonely, when you are sad or afraid or confused or troubled, no matter what is going on and no matter how much darkness it feels like there is, Jesus has come into the world to light the way. And how crazy is it that when God decided to do that, God showed up in the form of a tiny baby that was born in a manger. It is what we've been talking about all through Advent as a strange way to save the world, and yet that is exactly what God did for us. Small package, big light that overcomes all the darkness. So a little bit later in the service tonight, we are going to take candles, and you all probably got one on your way in tonight, and your families did too. So at that point in the service, when we light those candles, I want you to remember that no matter how dark things may seem, no matter how bad of a day it is, Jesus is always there to help you find your way. And so after the service, I invite you to take your candle home with you and put it in a place where it can be a reminder for you tomorrow and the next day and maybe even for the next year until we come back and do this again on Christmas Eve 2017. That no matter what, God loves you and God is with you all the time. So let's have a word of prayer together, all right? God, we are grateful for the good news that we received tonight. And as we celebrate, we pray that just as Jesus comes in to be the light of the world for us, that we might also shine our lights to help lighten up the darkness. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, I'll invite you to go back and sit with your families as we continue worship tonight. Thanks for coming. Emmanuel, God with us, comes to be among us in that tiny child that we remember tonight. And as we remember that, we also can give thanks for every child, every one of them here tonight and others all over the world, gifts from God that we receive. And so tonight, our offering is going to go toward blessing the lives of some children here in our community. I want to invite you to hear from a couple of people who can share with you far better than I can. So listen to a couple of my friends from Rawlings Elementary as they describe a little bit more about the impact of tonight's offering. Take a look.
I
think
in the snow, and a
warm
horse open sleigh, over the fields we go,
laughing all the way. Hello, Trinity United Methodist Church. My name is Daniel Burney, and I currently serve as a principal here at Rawlings Elementary Center for Fine Arts. First of all, I'd like to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for your support. We've enjoyed a great partnership with Faith Mission and Trinity United Methodist over the past couple of years, and we look to strengthen that bond through a new endeavor and a new initiative that we have to renovate our entire Media Center. We truly believe that our students and faculty and staff are better when we work together than when we work separate. So we want to encourage collaborative learning and collaborative creation by making this whole space a 21st century area for learning. Some of the things that we want to do, if you see this a pretty much open concept media center, we want to recreate some of the spaces. For instance, we want to create a corner for collaborative learning with new creation spaces like Makerspace. We want to make sure that we continue the support that we have from Trinity United Methodist to help us with our photography lab and bring that right into this space as well. We want to make sure that our robotics program has an opportunity to grow and flourish in this space and do a number of professional developments where our adults, faculty, and staff, and even staff members from around Alachua County, we want to make this a hub for 21st century innovative creation. And with your help, I'm sure we all can do this and be successful because, like I said before, we work better together than we do separately. Once again, thank you so much for your support.
Well, the reason I'm excited about this new project is because I think everybody should be able to create the things they imagine and be able to have their input in different things and have wild imaginations and create the different things they like to create. But I'm glad that we're all able to work together because when we work together, it helps us experience different things and able to grow into life. And so we won't be shy of anything else, and it builds our encouragement with different people and able to talk in front of different people. For me, I like vocal music art because it lets me express myself by using my voice and inspiring other people by using my voice for them to use their voice and help them have more encouragement.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, over the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on rock, bells ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to ride and sleigh something nice. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Thank you, Trinity, and have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We invite you to give generously toward this initiative and make a dream come true for these kids and this school. In just a moment, as the ushers come forward, you can place offerings in the plate, or if you prefer, in the bulletin, you may have noticed that QR code. You can just scan that and go straight to Trinity's webpage for this offering tonight and be able to give there as well. Let me invite the ushers to come now, and we will prepare to receive our offering for this evening. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for all good things that you bring into our lives, especially on this night, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we respond now with our offerings, we ask that you would take them and use them in ways that bring hope and encouragement and promise for a bright tomorrow. In Christ's name we pray.
Offering Mercy Me, God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen. Christmas is a joyous time when we gather together in anticipation of Jesus being born. Isaiah 9:3 says, "You have made the nation great, you have increased its joy." God sent us an amazing gift which, as a song of peace, will bring tidings of comfort and joy. When the Jews wondered if there was any hope, God heard their cries and sent his Son. If you look at our world now, you might find that it may be hard to find hope. But that is why we don't just look to our human world. We look to the miracle that happened on Christmas Day and the promise that Christ is coming again, and we rejoice. We gather as a church to praise the God who sent his Son to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. And we gather knowing that God is present with us, raising us out of dismay as we seek to embody Christ in our world today. The talented Lizzie Kirby will now sing our musical offering of God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, Sunlight, for offering yourselves and your music to us week after week and on this Christmas Eve. This evening, we turn to a story that we all know. Many of us have heard it again and again and again. It's the story of Christ's birth. And yet I invite you tonight to try to hear it with fresh ears. And I'll hope to do that with you a little bit more as well. So turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, if you've got your Bibles with you, or you can read along on the screens. And we'll hear the story of that very first Christmas. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. The first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city, called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room. Nearby shepherds were living in the field guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of heavenly forces was with the angel praising God. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what had been told them about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this message with you. And I pray for you that God will speak a word into your hearts. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What a strange way to save the world. Here they come, angels coming down to earth to share the good news with shepherds. They were the same angels who were there at the creation of the world, and now they're announcing the salvation of the world, but to shepherds. The angels must have gotten the wrong location on their GPS to end up with the shepherds. Why on earth would God send angels to tell the good news first to them? Shepherds were the bottom feeders of every community. They were smelly and dirty and doing the work that no one who could do anything else would do. I remember when we first moved to Bradenton about 20 years ago, and the ranch manager of Schrader Manatee Ranch took us around on a tour. It was a 20,000-acre working ranch of cattle and citrus and turf and trees. One of the things that astounded me the most was when we watched them harvest sod. There was this tractor, and it was driving along, and it had a tool behind it that must have been really sharp because it would slice a slice of sod just perfectly. And then it was put on a pallet that was on the trailer behind the tractor and stacked nicely to look like when you see it delivered. But the most astounding thing was the person who was working behind the trailer, behind the tractor. This guy was sweating and filthy, covered with dirt from head to toe, because his job was to sling that sod. He would walk behind the trailer and leaning over the whole time, and he had hooks in his hands, and he would hook that piece of sod after it was sliced and sling it up onto the back of the trailer and do that all day long. I said to the ranch manager, that literally looks like back-breaking work. And he said, yes, it is the most despised of all occupations. Anybody who could do anything else would do it before they would do this. Only the Mexican workers will do this work for this money. A job that nobody else wants to do. The most despised of all occupations. Working on land that is not their own. Traveling around with no place to call home. Treated by many people as non-persons. Those Mexican farm workers. It's amazing what they do. Today, maybe the angels' coordinates would take them right to those Mexican farm workers cutting sod. Now, why on earth would God come to sod cutters or shepherds? If God had a good business plan, God would have sent the angels to the movers and shakers in town, right? Surely there had to be better options than shepherds, than them, to get the word out and share the good news. There had to have been people who were more respected. There had to have been people who were better at business, better at marketing, had more managerial skills, more professional skills. Why on earth would God come to shepherds? For that matter, why on earth didn't God choose to be born to a better family living in a nicer area, right? Again, there had to be better options. Just think how much more effectively and expeditiously Jesus could have shared the good news if he was born into a more prestigious family, a more influential family, perhaps a couple that had world-class educations and a tremendous pedigree, or at the very least, the family of a priest, so that he could have gotten a good scholarly religious education, right? But instead, he was born to a teenage girl and a working-class carpenter from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's what people said then. That's the kind of reputation that Nazareth had. Why would God choose to be born into a poor family in a backwater town? And then there's the matter of going to Bethlehem for the census and being born in a stable. Today, the equivalent of that would be being born in the restroom at a truck stop in the shadow of a neon light flashing. No. until they did. Finally, why on earth would God come into the world in a vulnerable, tiny baby? God could have chosen to save the world through Caesar Augustus or some other powerful ruler. It seems like it would have been more logical to choose someone with power and might and all the resources of the world at their fingertips. With all those choices, God decided to reach out to us through an innocent child, born in a cattle stall, to an unwed teenage mother and a working class father from a small, uninspiring town, and to share the good news through poor shepherds who were out in the fields guarding their sheep overnight. It all seems rather foolish, doesn't it? And yet the Apostle Paul says, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of humans. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. With all those choices, God came to save the world through ordinary, imperfect, simple, and yet complicated people, probably somewhat like us. So God took a risk to come to us as a weak and vulnerable baby. And that is who we meet tonight. A child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is definitely not what we expected and not what we anticipated and not what we were looking for. And yet, he is the only hope that will not disappoint. You may be sitting here this evening on this night of nights, on this holy night, wondering if you are holy enough, if you are good enough, if you are faithful enough, if you are committed enough, enough for God to want to save you, to want you, to forgive you, to love you, to extend grace to you. And you know what? The answer is yes. God came to earth for you and 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 even for me. God came for all of us. God came to save all of us. Why on earth did God come to earth? God took on human flesh to become like us. We who are weak and imperfect and selfish and even foolish. The Apostle John says, the Word became flesh and lived among us, made a home with us. And to all who received Him, to all who believed in His name, He gave the power to be children of God. Why on earth did Jesus come to be with us? Christ came to be with us so that we could become like God. What a strange way to save the world. But aren't we glad? Thank God. Thank God. God, a what we do or who we are or how we act or what we've done. You love us. You love us so much that you will never give up on us. And you came to earth to be with us. Oh God, we give you thanks for that child. Born in a stable. And for what he can mean in our lives. So open our hearts to you, oh God. We might give them to you, that we might surrender to you and follow you. Thank you for coming to earth to be with us so that we could become like you, children of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray.
Sure, you must have been surprised where this road had taken him. Never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why him? Inside the stable filled with hay, why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. Think of how it could have been that Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside the stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. This is such a strange way to save.
God's strange plan to save our world comes full circle as we turn our attention away from the stable and the manger with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And we come to the Lord's table where he chose to spend his final meal with his disciples. Time and time again, God has chosen to use unexpected means and the unlikeliest of people to proclaim the good news of his salvation and to keep that salvation plan moving forward. From the manger that cradled the Creator of the universe to the cross, where Jesus paid the price that we could never pay to gain our salvation, to the empty tomb, where Jesus rose victoriously over the grave once and for all, defeating the bondage of sin and death in our lives, so that we might rise with Christ to live more abundantly and everlasting, not only when we die, but here and now. It is here at Christ's table that we proclaim the good news that Christ has died and Christ is risen and Christ will come again. And we enter into God's unfolding saga of salvation when we, like the disciples and all those who have come before us, choose to respond and to keep responding to God's amazing and unfailing grace. We know that Christ invites all to his table. He invites us to come just as we are. We know this because on the night before he died, he surrounded himself with those who would betray him and those who would deny him. And he took the bread for them and for us. And he gave thanks to God. And he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." And then he took the cup. And he gave thanks to God. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take and drink. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on this common bread and cup, that it may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time, you came to dwell among us, bringing light into our darkness. Indeed, love was born at Christmas. Love that wasn't scared to take on flesh and get dirty in our muck and our mire. Love that is boundless and timeless. So deep and so profound that nothing will ever be the same once it encounters your love. So may we encounter that love anew tonight. Love that heals, forgives, and makes us whole. Help us to hear, to really hear and believe the strange and miraculous and good news of the angels. Open our eyes to see like the shepherds the truth of your salvation, and empower us to respond like the wise men by offering all that we are and all that we have as our act of worship. As we come to your table, make us one with you and one with each other so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, filled with your peace, hope, joy, and love as we carry the light of Christ into dark places and continuously proclaim the glorious story of Christmas in our everyday, ordinary lives. Amen. And now, with the confidence of God's children, will you join me in praying the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite all those who will be helping us serve communion to come forward to the altar rails now. Saga that we are invited to be a part of. In United Methodist Church, you do not need to be a member of this church or any church to come to God's table, because it is Christ's table and He invites all to come as you are prompted by the Holy Spirit. And so in just a moment, you're going to be invited to come forward, and we'd like to invite you to start with the beginning of each section and then exit by the left and come forward. Each section has a pair of servers, and as you come forward, they're going to tear off a piece of bread and hand it to you. And then you can take that bread and dip it into the cup and eat it. You are welcome to come and kneel and pray. You're also welcome to return to your seats and sing and meditate. You can respond any way that you so choose, but respond to God's unfailing and loving grace. If you need gluten-free, we do have it at our stations here, so we're just asking you to come to the front stations. If you need that, it is gluten-free, dairy-free, and coconut-based. Come, for all is ready.
worship center. So I invite you to get your candles ready for that. When it comes time to do so, there will be ushers who will come down each aisle, light the candles on the persons for the persons on the end of the row, and then you'll continue to light your neighbors until all of us are lit. To do so, if you would, whoever has the lit flame, if you will hold your candle upright and let the unlit candle be tilted toward yours, that will save burns and hot wax throughout the house. Thank you for following those directions.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything that came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish it. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made His home among us. We have seen His glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of truth and grace. Let me invite you to stand.
Silent night, hold.
we sing joy to the world, but now receive this blessing. As you extinguish your candles, may the light of Christ be kindled within you, and may you carry it out into the world. May you know the grace given to you through the Bethlehem child. And may you know the love of God which never ceases to amaze us. And may you know the strength of the Holy Spirit who never wearies. Go in peace.